Attention is so intimate to awareness. In fact, we often use the words interchangeably. And when we say, I'm aware of the ticking of the clock. It's like, my attention has noticed. I've noticed the ticking of the clock. That's where my attention is at the moment. Also in your awareness may be the sounds of the birds or what you're seeing or feeling in the body, whatever. There's a lot of other things going on in the awareness, but the attention is like it's the bit of our awareness that we're actually interested in that moment. And it's always there to one degree or another. And this, I've been fascinated by it and the sort of types of attention, but also what it means in terms of our awakening to who we are and how we use attention. And those are some things I want to really talk about today. And it's interesting that I sometimes say we never pay attention to attention. So what I want to do today is actually pay attention to attention itself. And as most of you know, when I use the word awareness, I'm generally not using it in the sense of like being aware of the ticking of the clock or being aware of this or that, which is how we usually use it, often use it. And that's when it's almost synonymous with attention. For me, there is the whole field of awareness. That is happening at any moment. Awareness is just the fact that we are aware. The one thing we know for sure is we are aware beings. And within any moment, there is this vast multidimensional field of awareness, which is what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm sensing in my body, what I'm smelling, the thoughts that are passing through my mind, my feelings. They're all experiences in awareness. They're all things I am aware of, if you like. So there's the field of awareness in which experience arises. So that's the way I'm using awareness. And then attention is like the spotlight within that. And that spotlight is always on something or other within that vast field of awareness. And it's like that's the point of all this that we're actually interested in. It's like that I am interested in. So it's the spotlight. And it's a bit like, I think if you're in, if you went out just after dark and it's not completely dark or in a dim room and you had a flashlight, or rather, I'm speaking American now, you have a torch for us English speaking people, and you go around looking for things, you use it to focus in, to shine the light on something, to see it more clearly. And that's in a way what we're doing with the attention. We have this vast field of awareness, and then we're shining the light of our awareness. We're focusing it, if you like, to bring into focus a particular part of our field of experience. So what we're interested in, so that we can actually be attend to it more clearly, and say bring it into focus. So it's really about how we isolate a particular object of our experience from the whole field of awareness. And so it's like targeting our awareness down to a particular experience. And generally, and this is very generally, I see there's two basic modes of awareness. There's of the attention. So two basic modes of the attention. There's the focused mode, which is often the way we use the word attention, pay attention. Pay attention means focus in on something or other, hold the attention to this. That's the most common way. And then there's another softer way of attending to something where where you're not holding the attention anywhere. This might be when you're, out in the forest, just enjoying the spectacle of just the trees and the greenery. You're not focusing on any particular tree or anything. A bird may come along, and in that moment, you move from this open, expansive, soft attention to something, suddenly you're looking at the bird. What is that bird? You've moved into a focused attention. But generally, there's this open, soft, relaxed attention. And when you're in that relaxed attention, it's broader. It's like sort of opening up the beam of your flashlight. The attention's broader and taking in more. And it's relaxed and it wanders. If you like, the attention wanders from one thing here to another thing there, just anything that's of interest. And that's really what the attention is for. It's for whatever is of interest to you is to just, let's say, bring it more into focus. And it's completely natural to have this alternation. I think it's natural to just have this broad open awareness when everything is fine, where you're sitting there in the garden or whatever, you're looking at a sunset or listening to a piece of music. You're not focusing on individual notes or an individual instrument. You may do, but generally it's like it's an open, broad, soft attention. And then when something changes, the more focused, deliberate attention clicks in. And it's almost like the brain is designed to notice change. I mean, this is something that I found fascinating in my when I was studying neurophysiology, psychology. The brain doesn't look at what is. It monitors changes. It monitors any differences. And it's fascinating. If you hold the eye completely still, if you sort of paralyze the muscles so that the image on the retina isn't changing, within a minute or two, it just fades away. There's no change. And it's like it makes more efficiency for the brain to notice change. Or if you go into, a float tank, a sensory immersion tank, where the temperature's the same as your body, whatever it is, there's no sound, it's dark. Within a few moments, minutes or two, you start losing awareness of your individual boundaries. So this is a natural thing. When there's change, then the attention comes in and begins to notice the change. So this alternation between a sort of open awareness and then when something happens, a bird flies by, there's some change that is possibly of interest or value, an opportunity or some danger, then the attention moves into this more focused mode. And this, I say, is completely natural. And I think it relates to the left and right brain. And some of you may know Ian McCilchrist. He wrote this wonderful book about 10 years ago called The Master and His Emissary, in which he was really reconsidering the whole of the research that had been done on the left-right brain over the years. When that research first started coming out, which was really in the late 60s, early 70s, the research started coming out. The idea was, and it's still sort of the prevalent popular idea, is the left brain is language, it's good at mathematics, logic, etc. The right brain is art, music, creativity. That's now been seen to be a very, very simplistic idea. And what Ian does in this incredible book, I really recommend it for anybody interested, he shows that actually the left brain is really good at tasks which involve the mode of focused attention. So that's the attention style of the left brain. And obviously, mathematics require focused attention. Listening to word speaking requires focused attention on the flow of thinking. The right brain is much better at that more open, relaxed attention, which is saying that's why people associate it with music with the right brain, because if you're listening to music, you're in that much more open way of being with things. So something else I just wanted to mention is the root of the word attention is interesting. This is something Rupert Spira, who some of you I know, pointed out some time ago. Attention comes from the Latin tendere, the verb tendere, which actually means to stretch. And so when we're attending to something, it's like we're stretching our awareness towards it. And I like that because when we're actually consciously, deliberately in that paying attention mode, holding our attention to something, it can almost feel like that. It almost has a sort of slight, very subtle mental sensation, like we're stretching ourselves, stretching our awareness towards whatever it is of interest that we want to focus on. And with that, the other side of that is that it also creates a slight tension in the mind. And again, tension comes from the same root, to stretch. Attention is a stretching. So when we are focused on something, there tends to be this slight stretching, a slight tension in the mind. And I think, you know, some of you have probably noticed this when you've been focused on something, or even meditation, when you're focused on a particular, you've got focus drawn into a particular thought or something, and you realize it and you just let it go. You just like realize, whoa, that was taking a bit of energy. There was some tension there in focusing on that thought. And we need to, in a way, put effort or tension into it, because the attention is going to wander off on something else that's interesting. If you're, you know, working on, I don't know, writing email or something that needs your concentration, and the sound, you know, it's the sound of a bird or some music next door, the attention will actually wander off to see if that's more interesting. So we're actually holding the attention to something against that natural tendency to wander off to anything else that may be of interest. And that's why it takes some effort, some tension in the mind. And that, in a way, is probably the cost of having to paying attention to something, trying to hold it there. So another way I'd like to look at this is thinking of it as zoomed in or zoomed out as the two modes of attention. There's the zoomed in attention, we're zooming in on something, and then there's the zoomed out, like with a camera, we zoom out. It's the wide view, the open, softer awareness is the more wide view. What happens, unfortunately, I would say with us, it's part of, you know, part of the unfortunate personal, social circumstances we all get ourselves in most of the time, which is why we're all here looking for some, whatever it is, spiritual awakening or something, or meditation. We end up far too much in that focused mode. And you could say, you know, one of the reasons we may meditate is to begin to relax that focus mode. I'm not be doing this in a meditation in a little bit, but we want to relax that focus mode, that doing mode, and actually come back to that more relaxed, open mode of attention. You know, if you look at our lives, you know, probably, maybe, I don't know, it's easy to have 90, 95% of the day caught up in that focus mode. We move from one thing, then something else catches our attention. We're focused on that, then something else. And we're going through with our attention focused on something or other the whole time. So what is really valuable is being able to step out of the focus mode, to zoom out again, to zoom out into, as Ram Dass would put it, being here now. But that focus mode is also, it's really driven as well by what I call the ego mode of thinking, which is not just the egocentric, self-centered mode, but for me, what I call the egoic mode of thinking is the thinking that is looking after ourselves. What do we need? Is this safe? Is there a great opportunity here? What's this mean? Or whatever it is, or what do people think of me? All that sort of stuff, which is actually basically there for our safety and our survival, to help us be safe and survive. That's the ego mode of thought. It's valuable and it has limitations because we get caught up in it far too much. But that ego mode takes us into this focused attention a lot more. It's like, if there's something happening in our life, it's like, okay, what does this mean? What should I do? We get caught up in focusing on our thinking about it. But More than that, it's like in our culture, there are so many distractions. It's interesting, the word distraction. When you think about what does distraction mean, it means taking our attention away from something, taking our attention somewhere else. And we live in a continually distracting culture, which means what's happening continually taking our attention here, taking it there, whatever. I mean, advertising, just about every single advertisement you see is wanting to grab the attention, grab your attention about something, and then tell you you can't be happy because you don't have something, and the only way to get happy again is to, get whatever it is they're selling. They draw you into this whole thing. They grab your attention and then draw you into a whole story about how to be happy, not recognizing that if they hadn't grabbed your attention in the first place, you'd probably be absolutely fine. I mean, this is the sad irony of our society. But it's not just advertising. I mean, we live in a culture which is attention grabbing. I mean, I was reading a post recently from someone who's pointing out, it's an attention economy we live in now, that we produce something and we need to get attention for it. You make a film about something, you want to get attention. You're on social media, you put it up there, you're looking for attention, you want people to see it. It's like, ah, can I get attention? Or music makers, you make a piece of music, okay, how can I get attention? Or me, I mean, I write a new book and it's like, okay, I want to bring attention to it. I want to, which is fine. I want to, but let people know. It's like we're continually looking to grab other people's attention. And this post, it was quite powerful. It was pointing out that, more than 50% of the economy is now around how do we grab people's attention and monetize it in one way or another. And it pointed out, which I thought was a nice thing, all these website companies designing web pages, they could just be a basic template, that says, okay, this is the company name, address, phone number, this is what it does, these are whatever it is. But no, we have to go and get better and better ones. We're competing for attention the whole time. And I mentioned this not so much just to, as another critique of where our culture has got to, but just recognizing this is what happens to us. Our attention is being grabbed, is being caught, is being taken over so much of the time. And so the result is that we end up in this background state of tension, which comes from focusing here, focusing there, following what the ego thinks is important. And it's almost, as I think I've said before, this sort of background tension in the attention is really the hallmark of when we're stuck in egoic thinking. And I always say to people, if you want to know if the ego's active or if you're caught in that mode, just notice, is there this background sense of attention there? Sorry, tension in the attention, is that there? So the other thing I want to look at is going a bit deeper into this. There's two ends of the attention, if you like. There's the object of attention, what we are attending to, whatever it is, whether it's, an itch in the body, a bird song, piece of music, the road we're driving down, whatever it is. There's always some object of attention, whether it's a broad, open, soft awareness, or whether it's a very focused, concentrated attention. There's always an object to attention. And the side that is not usually looked at so much or explored is the subject. There's the subject of attention, which is, who is attending or what is attending, which really comes, back to the essential, I think, the essential spiritual journey that we're all on ultimately, is like recognizing What is this sense of I? What is this sense of I that is aware, that is conscious, that is always present, though very seldom noticed? And that's that sense of I, which is attending. We say, you know, the I is the I that is aware. It's that same I that is attending. And by I here, I mean, anybody who's a little new to my way of thinking, I don't mean the personal self. It's not the I, Peter Russell, British male writer, blah, 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 blah. These are all things we identify with. These are all parts of my experience. And so, you know, somewhere you can say all those things are the personal self, but other objects of experience, so other things I can attend to. You know, I can attend to this body or the fact that I'm, you know, I have been a writer, whatever it is, I can attend to them. What this is talking about is that sense of, the closest I think we can put in simple words, just that I am, that sense of I am beingness that is always there, that is attending. And this brings up an interesting question for me. It's like, this is part of my exploration here, my personal exploration, which I'm still fascinated by. And I want to share something with you. This, and it, anyway, just as, you know, fuel for your own investigation, is there some degree of volition here with attention? And I mean, the way I used to put it to myself is like, is the attention the action of awareness? Now that sounds a little strange, because, you know, when we're using the word awareness in the way that I like to use the word, as just that sense of I, of just that being aware, that sense of being, which is just, it's just the witness of all experience. It's sometimes called the witness of all experience, the subject. That is, there's the subject, the witness, and there's the object. And it's always said that the subject is without qualities, the pure I doesn't do anything, it just observes, it is aware of what is happening, it is not actually involved in the world, but it is, yes, the witness. And so the word action doesn't really work there. I mean, it's just a witness doesn't act. But this is the bit I've been playing with here, is if I decide to put my attention somewhere, whatever it is, you know, just looking out the window and I decide to put my attention on a leaf out there, that decision, the decision where to put my attention, is coming from, I call it the thinking mind. But the thinking mind doesn't actually put the attention. It's like I then respond and my attention moves there. So there's a way and sense which the eye moves the attention to different places. Where it moves it to, I think, is decided by, you know, whatever's going on in the thinking mind, whatever, or something that comes in, a bird flying by that grabs our attention. But is the eye actually in charge of where the attention goes? And I don't have any answer to this. This is just something I am fascinated with in my own experience, which is why I'm sharing this with you now, something to play with. I mean, something that I've noticed when my mind is quiet, usually in a meditation or something, and I decide to move my attention somewhere else, it's actually a very subtle sense of movement in the mind. It's like I can feel the mind almost moving from one mode of attending, moving into something else. It's very, very subtle, but I'm just absolutely fascinated by this. And I've mentioned it to various people, but haven't got any response. people, maybe I don't explain it right. People don't understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, I want to mention it as something, you may have or to play with to see if to notice this thing of how is it the eye that is attending? Does it have, is it moving in a sense within the awareness? I can't put it clearly, I'm just mentioning this. And because this brings us back to the whole issue of free will, which people know I've written about, and actually there's a whole section of my site on free will. And maybe only the attention is completely free. And I'll explain what I mean by this. I personally don't think we have free will in the normal sense, being able to make a free choice. For example, if I go into a restaurant and I choose something to eat, I look at the menu and I think, oh, I ate that last week and I don't fancy that and I'm not eating meat this week and I don't like. Basically, you narrow it down to one thing and you think you've made a choice, but actually, you've been involved in a decision-making process of which you didn't know the outcome. And so we've made a decision, but that choice has been conditioned by the past and things. And so there's a way in which maybe everything we do, every thought we have is conditioned by the past in some way or another. And even where we place the attention may be conditioned. Whether it's the bird flying by is conditioning the attention, or something that's happening, or whatever it is, something that's moving in, or some feeling is conditioning where we place the attention. But the bit that fascinates me is where I think we do have free choice, is our ability to withdraw the attention, to withdraw our interest. Our interest may be caught up in some thought, some story. Where we have choice is to withdraw our attention from that particular thought or story or experience and to just allow it to be. It's not about if we start putting the attention somewhere else, that's another conditioned response. But by choosing to, as I say, to unplace the attention, it's placed somewhere, just to unplace it, withdraw our interest. And when we do that, then what we usually find, what I usually find, I have to speak personally here, not for you, but firstly, there's that sense of relief. I notice the energy, the tightness that's going into the attention. There's a sense of relief. Also, that the present begins to reveal itself again. It's like, I hadn't noticed that. Oh, there's the sound of this. Oh, there's this in my body, whatever it is. And then in that quietness, what I find is my, if you like, my inner voice starts coming through with what would be the most appropriate action or thing to be doing at this time. And so I am not so much choosing to do something, I am choosing to withdraw my interest in deciding what to do. And in the spaciousness that comes, in that quiet spaciousness that comes, arises whatever I am called to do, which I find just it's just so valuable. It's like the choice not to choose is the choice that can change our life in a way, because what comes out of our inner wisdom is so much more, I find so much more helpful. So I've been moving on. Let's pause and have a meditation here, and then we have some discussion. Just want to just take some of this into a meditation. And what I like to do in terms of when I'm meditating with you in a group is actually I'll switch off my video and I actually lower my computer screen so I'm not looking at anything, just so it makes me be more internal. You can do whatever you like, but I just like to encourage while we're meditating, in a sense, not to be on the Zoom call in ourselves, just listening. And at the end, I'll ring a bell, which will be a time to come and come back into visual reality. So, I've been speaking a lot, so let's just pause. I'd like to always take a few deeper breaths, breathing out more fully. Just every time we breathe out, it just allows us to relax, just relaxing the body. It's like relaxed breath is a sign to the body that everything's okay. So we just allow ourselves to relax, letting the weight go, be taken by the chair or whatever. If you notice any holding on in the body, just see if that can just soften and let go. And just noticing what is there for you in the present moment. What is there in the body? There's probably a lot of different things there, sensations, the touch of the clothes, pressures, warmth, whatever. Little thoughts coming in. Sounds, my voice, other sounds. Not focusing on anything in this meditation, not focusing on anything at all. We're just being with what is, not trying to get anywhere or change anything. But just noticing how the attention is just, it just moves around. You may notice something in the body, some sound, the attention wanders over there. Some thought temporarily grabs the attention. But when you notice you've actually got caught up in some thought again because it's so interesting, just this thing of choosing, we have the choice not to follow it anymore. We have the choice to withdraw our interest from it. And just when we withdraw our interest from it, we just come back to here, to just being here with our experience. And just noticing this quality of attending to something, whatever it is, whatever is taking our interest in this moment and it moves around, just noticing this quality of actually attending to it. It's our interest, put it this way, our interest is there, whatever it is. And now wherever your attention, wherever it may be, it doesn't matter. Just explore, you know, could your attention be a little more relaxed? Could your attention be a little softer? And if you could let your attention just soften and relax a little bit, just notice how that is. What's it like? With some of us, there's often a sense of like we come back a little closer to ourself, to our own beingness. Or we let the attention relax, just feel a little easier, more spacious. Or noticing greater sense of quiet or stillness, or just simply just ease. We're really in this meditation just noticing what it's like when we let the attention relax from a tighter, more focused mode into just this very open, spacious mode of attention. In which we just drop back closer to ourself, closer to our own sense of being. Because when we're attending to something else, the more we attend, the more it, in a way, takes us away from ourselves. So as we let the attention soften and relax, it's like the attention can begin to come back and our own sense of beingness, our own sense of I, we can begin to attend to that. It's like it's turned back 180 degrees instead of being turned out into the world, whether it's even just the world of a thought or some feeling. We're just turning it 180 degrees back and just attending to this sense of being, this sense of me that becomes more apparent as we allow the attention itself to relax. We'll just take another minute or so just to be with this practice. Just whenever you notice the tension somewhere, wherever it is, however soft it is, just even asking, could the attention be even more relaxed? Could it be even softer? And notice how that is. And slowly begin to close the meditation. Always encourage people to remember not to jump out of it, but just to maybe move your fingers or toes a little bit. Open your eyes slowly, let a little light in. We gradually return to being here together in the group. And I mentioned in the description of today, in the emails that went out, that I find this in my own life one of the easiest ways of just coming back to being in day-to-day life, in like in the middle of anything I'm doing, anytime, just to be able to pause. Two things: one, to choose to withdraw my interest from something, but in this respect also just to let the attention relax. Wherever I am, I can just notice, okay, where's my attention, with it, without even trying to move the attention or change it. It doesn't mean I've got to put my attention somewhere else, but in this moment, wherever my attention is, without putting it somewhere else, can I allow it to relax? Can I let my attention relax? And it always does to some degree or other. And so I always just come back to myself to some degree or other. So that's why I share this, is, you know, what I find probably the simplest and easiest, one of the most powerful ways of just coming back to being.